a case in this book for more consideration of the ways we produce our food. It's taken you into some incredible areas of research, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think what I was interested in was applying some intellectual rigour to the idea of animals. And what I discovered is good farming ecosystems have to exist with animals. Like, there's no ecosystem on Earth that exists without animals. So when you farm, and if you're doing it in a more biologically sensible way, a more sustainable way, then animals have to be part of the system. It doesn't make any sense to not have them. Now, those animals are, they might be things that come and take your crop or are involved in the edges of your crop. It might be appropriate in some farming systems to use those animals for food. But to ignore the fact that animals are involved is kind of like, I think that's where the debate has been simplified, to say we could use all of this farming land that could be used, that's used to grow animals, could be used to grow plants. That's not how farming systems work. There's arable land and grazing land. Grazing land is suitable for grazing animals, the cows, chickens, sheep, goats that have four stomachs that convert grass into something we can eat, because we humans can't digest grass. Arable land is different. Arable land is where you can grow crops. So grazing land where you can graze animals that can become food is different to arable land where you can grow crops. And you can't just convert every bit of farmland to grow crops. So the best use of a single piece of, you know, a piece of farmland or a farming area may not be entirely vegetable-based in terms of producing the most high-quality food per acre. And that makes ecological sense. It makes evolutionary sense. I have no interest in converting anyone to eat meat if they don't want to, or to not eat meat if they do eat meat. I think we can all make those ethical choices for ourselves. But if you're going to eat meat, I think I'd at least like to think we use, or anything, I'd like to think we use sensible farming methods and do we look after the animals that we do rear in our care.
What has been the reaction so far to your book? Because, as you know, the situation with radical veganism and with people actually invading farms and doing what they think is a good action has been growing. And is it based on any real sensible fact, or is it just a knee-jerk reaction to something that they don't like seeing going on?
Yeah, that's a great question. The farmers grow food on other people's behalf, and most people who grow food, be it plant-based or animal-based, deal with death. So there's lots of animals that die to produce vegetables and grains. I think some people can't bear the fact that animals die for them to eat, but it seems to be the only animals that most people who are activists care about. They're not actually the animals I think are most important, which are the insects that they kill with mass amounts of herbicides. Pesticides. But they're usually warm-blooded, cute and furry, and have soft brown eyes. The sad thing, if people don't want to eat meat, they want to be a vegan, that's absolutely fine. Militant or extreme veganism, where you're trying to impose your belief system on someone else, it hasn't been helpful. And a great example of that is this year. It's not a great example. To me, it's an appalling example. Activists have broken into farms. They've stopped traffic in Melbourne. And what has happened? We've got tougher rules for breaking into farms, but we have less scrutiny, more secrecy of our most intensive industries. And I'm no fan of the intensive animal industry in Australia. I think it needs scrutiny. It needs to be accountable. It needs to be open and fair. But what have we got? More secrecy. So the potential, and it is only the potential, but the potential for worse animal welfare outcomes today versus 6 months ago is greater. So that possibly the end result of trying to impose your views on someone who may not want to share those views has been potentially worse for the animals in human care. And what a tragedy that is. Like, and it's it, I don't understand. And historically, that's been the case. The more activism. The best way to not change someone's mind is to attack them, because they'll become defensive. The best way to make sure farms aren't open and accountable is to invade them, because that's a normal human strategy, is to defend to put up barriers. And I think the best way to get the doors open and to make sure farmers are accountable is by dealing with them as most humans do. You may not share someone's belief system, but you don't attack them and impose your beliefs on them. You try to convince them that your beliefs are worth at least considering. If I was to lie on the streets of Melbourne and insist that everyone shared my belief in, homeschooling or something, because there's less carbon emission from homeschooling, that's not a valid use of You know, that's not going to get anyone to homeschool their kids by trying to impose that on other people. No matter how noble and honourable your intentions are, the best way to convert people is through intelligent grown-up discussions that convince them of the worthiness of your position. And sadly, because I really want animals in our care to be well looked after, extreme activism has actually made worse animal outcomes historically.